Sabbath blessing to all the dear brethren that are joining us in the room, for those that are listening on the phone, on the radio, and a later day on the recordings. Sabbath blessing to each and every one of you on this Sabbath, November 28, 2015. Can everyone see the presentation in the room, dear ones? This is lesson 155. Chapter 32, entitled The Centurion. The opening song to our study today is entitled Just As I Am, and if you have the hymn, it's number 314. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. If any one of the dear brethren would like to have opening prayer, mommy, little ones, babala.
We can all kneel, bow our heads and our hearts. Our Father, I thank you from the Spirit to have this blessed day. I thank you from the Spirit to wake us up this morning. I pray that you can be able to learn from today's Sabbath lesson. Forgive us all for our sins and iniquities and our blessed like spirits. Protect us where we go. Protect us from the things we see and do. Let us be able to help one another and comfort one another. Be with us and let us be courageous in all things. Let us be able to see one another if we are in pain. Let us be able to avoid all the temptations that they will use against us. Let us be grateful for the things you've given us and that we might be able to be strong in everything that we need you. And let us be also diligent and unselfish, reverent and noble and discerning, faithful, and also helpful, and blessed be able to have.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let us continue. Welcome to all the dear brethren that are joining us at this very moment. The opening scripture to our study today is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 8, verses 5 through 6 in the King James Version, and it reads, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." This week, boys and girls, we will begin a new chapter of our lesson entitled Centurion in our study book, Desire of Ages. If any one of the dear family would like to take the following verses, bubble up.
Matthew 8:6, and saying, "Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of a palsy, grievously tormented." Matthew 8:7, and Jesus saith unto him, "I will come and heal him." Matthew 8:8, the centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." Amen.
Matthew 8:9, "For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I said to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he does it."
Matthew 8:10, "When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, who I have not found so great faith, no, not in all Israel." Matthew 8:11, "And I say unto you that many come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." Amen.
Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend, And they said unto him, Yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. John 4, verses 52 and 53.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Today we will cover pages 315 through 316. Welcome to all the dear brethren that are joining us at this very moment. We are in Desire of Ages, page 315. If any one of the dear family would like to read the first paragraph, blah, blah, blah.
Have a blessing, everyone. Desire of Ages, page 315. Christ had said to the nobleman, Whose son he healed? Is it ye sign and wonder ye will not believe? John 4:48. He was grieved that his own nature should require these outward signs of his messiahship. And again he had marveled to their unbelief. But he marveled at the faith of the centurion who came to him. The centurion did not question the Savior's power. He did not even ask him to come in person to perform the miracle. He speaks the word only, and he said, My servant shall be healed. Desire Ages 315, paragraph 1. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Question, boys and girls, what did Jesus say, and why was he grieved of by his nation concerning his messiahship? And how did Jesus marvel at the faith of the centurion who came to him? If you know the answer to this question, dear ones, blah, blah, blah.
The answer is, except we see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. He was grieved that his own nation should require these outward signs of his messiahship. And the centurion did not answer the Savior's question.
Amen. So let's learn a beautiful scripture song together, dear ones. And this is taken from the book of John. And it's located in chapter 1, verses 4 through 5 and 9 through 11. In him was life, and the life was the light. The life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That was the true light which lightened every man that come into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. John chapter 1 verses 4 and 5 and 9 through 11. Welcome to all the dear brethren.
The centurion's servant had been stricken with palsy and lay at the point of death. Among the Romans, the servants were slaves, bought and sold in the marketplaces, and treated with abuse and cruelty. But the centurion was tenderly attached to his servant and greatly desired his recovery. He believed that Jesus could heal him. He had not seen the Savior, but the reports he heard had inspired him with faith. Notwithstanding the formalism of the Jews, this Roman was convinced that their religion was superior to his own. Already he had broken through the barriers of national prejudice and hatred that separated the conquerors from the conquered people. He had manifested respect for the service of God and had shown kindness to the Jews and his worshippers. In the teaching of Christ, as it had been reported to him, he found that which met the need of the soul. All that was spiritual within him responded to the Savior's words, but he felt unworthy to come into the presence of Jesus, and he appealed to the Jewish elders to make requests for the healing of his servant. They were acquainted with the great teacher, and would, he thought, know how to approach him as to win his favor. Desire of Ages, page 315, paragraph 2. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Great job, dear ones. Question, boys and girls, mommy or daddy. What was in the teaching of Christ that met the need of the centurion's soul? And why did he appeal to the Jewish leaders to meet requests of Jesus for the healing of his servant for him? If you know the answer to this question, dear ones, bubble up.
The answer is, all that was spiritual within him responded to the Savior of the Word, but he felt unworthy to come unto the presence of Jesus, and they were acquainted with the great teacher and thought now know how to approach him so as to win his favor.
Desire of Ages, page 316. As Jesus entered Capernaum, he was met by a delegation of the elders who told him of the centurion's desire. They urged that he was worthy for him. He should do this, for he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Desire of Ages, page 316, paragraph 1.
Amen. Question, boys and girls. What happened when Jesus entered Capernaum? And what did they urge Jesus that he should do this for the centurion? If you know the answer to this question, dear ones, bubble up.
The answer is, he was met by a delegation of the elders who told him of the centurion's desire, and they urged that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue.
Desire of Ages, page 316. Jesus immediately set out of the officer's home, but pressed by the multitude, he advanced slowly. The news of him coming precede him, and the centurion, in his self-distrust, sent him the message, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. But the Savior kept on his own way, and the centurion venturing at the last to approach him, complete the message saying, continuing on that side, neither though I myself worthy to come unto thee, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed, for I am the man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth. As I represent the power of the room, and my soldiers recognize my authority as supreme, so dose. Those represent the power of the infinity God and all infinite God, and all created things obey thy word. Thus canst thou canst command the disease to depart, and it shall obey thee. Thus canst summon thy heavenly messengers, and thou shalt impart healing virtue, speaking out the words, and my servant.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good job, everyone. Question, boys and girls. What message did the centurion in his self-distrust send to Jesus? And what was the humble statement that the centurion made to Christ when he ventured at last to approach him that completed the message? If you know the answer to these questions, dear one, bubble
up.
The answer is, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter under my roof, and speak but the word, and my servant shall be healed. So do thou represent the power of the infinite God, and all created things obey thy word.
Amen. Let's learn another scripture song together, dear ones, from the book of Jeremiah, and keeping in mind all of the dear brethren and those that are sick, that we can plead also for their healing. This is taken from Jeremiah 17, verse 14. And we also have the Spanish version. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. For thou art my praise, for thou art my praise. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. For thou art my praise, for thou art my praise. In Spanish, Jeremiah 17:14. Sáname, oh Jehová, y seré sano, sálvame y seré salvo, porque tú eres mi alabanza, porque tú eres mi alabanza. Sáname, oh Jehová, y seré sano, sálvame y seré salvo, porque tú eres mi alabanza, porque tú eres mi alabanza.
When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And to the centurion he said, As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Amen. Desire of Ages, page 316, paragraph 3.
Amen. Question, boys and girls, mommies or daddy, how did Jesus respond after he marveled when he heard the words of the centurion? And what did he say to the centurion? If you know the answer to this question, blah, blah, blah.
The answer is, he turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, not in Israel. And as thou hast believed it, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in self same hour.
Desire of Ages, page 316. The Jewish leaders who recommended the centurion to Christ had shown how far they were from possessing the spirit of the gospel. They did not recognize that our great need is our only claim on God's mercy. In their self-righteousness, they commended the centurion because of the favor he had shown to our nation. But the centurion said of himself, I am not worthy.
Desire had been tempted by the kings of Christ. He saw his own unworthiness, yet he feared not to ask help. He trusted not his own goodness, his argument was his great need. His faith took hold upon Christ in his true character. He did not believe in him merely as a worker of miracles, but as a friend of Savior of mankind.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Question, boys and girls, what did the Jewish elders who recommended the centurion to Christ fail to recognize, which show how far they were from possessing the spirit of the gospel? And what did the centurion say of himself that showed his heart had been touched by the grace of Christ? If you know the answer to this question, dear ones, babala.
The answer is they did not recognize that our great need is our only claim on God's mercy. In their self-righteousness, they commended the centurion because of the favor he had shown to our nation, and I am not worthy. He saw his own unworthiness, yet he feared not to ask help.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's learn on our two last scripture songs together, dear ones, from the book of Genesis and the book of Psalms. And the one in Genesis is in chapter 32, verse 10, from the King James Version margin. I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies, and for all the truth which thou hast shown unto thy servant. I am not worthy, I am not worthy, I am not worthy. Let's sing it together, dear ones. I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies, and for all the true which thou hast shown unto thy servant. I am not worthy, I am not worthy, I am not worthy. In Psalms 138, verse 8, the Lord will perfect that which concerning me, thy mercy, O Lord, endure it forever. Forsake not the works of thy own hands, says the Lord. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me, thy mercy, O Lord, endure it forever. Forsake not the works of thy own hands, says the Lord. Amen. We have come to the end of our first section of our study of the Children's Sabbath School lesson, and we are the section where we ask all those precious little ones to come very close to the mic for a story time. This section of our study was inspired by the Lord for all the precious little jewels. Our book selection is entitled Sons and Daughters of God, and our dear brother Graves will be the one.
Buenos dias. Good morning, boys and girls. It's story time. The text this morning is Galatians 5:6. It says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Now, in this setting, circumcision means removing worldly or sinful things from the life. When you present your petitions to the Lord, children, do you know what a petition is? Well, it goes something like this. Dear Lord, please protect us while we travel. That is a petition. It should be in humility, without boasting or superior attainments. We shouldn't say, Lord, I'm a good person and I'm a highly educated person, therefore grant my petition. No, that's not the way we do it. But with real soul hunger for the blessing of God. Christ always knows what is cherished in the heart. Cherished means we think about it or love it a lot. We must come in faith that the Lord will hear and answer our prayers, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Genuine faith, that means real faith, is the faith that works by love and purifies the soul. A living faith will be a working faith. Should we go into the garden and find that there was no sap in the plants, no freshness in the leaves, no bursting buds or blooming flowers, no sign of life in stalk or branches, we would say, the plant is dead. Uproot it from the garden, for they are a deformity to the beds. They make the garden, the grow box, or the flower bed look bad, so they pull them out. So it is with those who profess Christianity and have no spirituality. If we say, I'm a Christian and don't like to think, speak, or sing about heaven, then we are spiritually dead. If there are no signs of religious vigor, and vigor means interest in heaven or Bible study, if there is no doing of the commandments of the Lord, it is evident that there is no abiding in Christ. Let me get my cursor over here. And the living vine. Faith and love are the essential or absolutely necessary and powerful working elements of Christian character. Those who possess them are one with Christ and are carrying forward His mission. We are to sit at Christ's feet as continual learners and to work with his gifts of faith and love. We shall then wear Christ's yoke and lift his burdens, and Christ will recognize us as one with him. He will say, "Hey, he looks just like me." In heaven it will be said, "Ye are laborers together with God." Will you youth remember? Will our youth remember? I'm trying to make it personal.
Okay.
Will our youth remember that without faith it is impossible to please God? And it must be faith that works by love and purifies the soul. We cannot overestimate. Overestimate means to put a high value on something. We cannot overestimate the value of simple faith and questioning obedience. Do you know what unquestioning obedience means? Well, when Mama says, ask you to do something, you don't say, "Why do I have to do that?" Instead, you say, "I'll be most happy to, Mama." It is by following in the path of obedience in simple faith that the character obtains perfection or becomes perfect. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith worketh by love. Galatians 5, 6. Thank you for listening.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brethren. Next week, we will continue with part 2 in our study entitled Centurion of our lesson book, Desire of Ages. If any one of the precious little one, mommy or daddy, would like to have closing prayer, bubble out.
Oh, Father, which art in heaven, we pray to you, be good to all of our families, help us to have wisdom and understanding, and take what we learn in this week, this Saturday, or this Saturday, and this throughout the week.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Next Sabbath, dear one, and that will be December 5th, 2015. We are in chapter 32, entitled The Centurion, and that will be part 2. We hope and pray that all of you were blessed. We have prepared activities for the whole family to enjoy. We hope and pray that you have a blessed rest of the Sabbath, and God bless each and every one of you. And welcome to those that are coming in to join us for the first time. God bless. Have a blessed and peaceful Sabbath, dear ones.